Yes, this is the day for raising your hand. So, how many of you have ever answered a help wanted ad? Just a few of you, actually. Help wanted advertisements. You might see them in restaurant windows. Restaurants seem to always be looking for help, or regularly anyway. Vicki and I drove out Route 30 not too long ago, and there are lots of help wanted signs on Route 30. There's a shortage of workers. You can find advertisements for work on Craigslist. Like, there's a whole section for employment if you're looking for work. On Nextdoor.com, which is a neighborhood social media site, they are designed for local neighborhoods to sign up on. Even around here, there's help wanted. Do you know a landscaper? I need painting done at my house. I need my chimney looked at. We need help. There are opportunities for work. And with our present economy, businesses are looking for workers. The national unemployment rate is, here's the quiz, what percent? 3.9%. Economists consider that full employment. If you take the numbers of people who are looking for work and the numbers of jobs available, everyone who wants a job should be able to have one. There are reasons why that doesn't work out. You may not be skilled for the job that's required. You may not live where the job is. But right now, there are enough jobs to satisfy everyone. In the Pennsylvania state and in the Pittsburgh area, unemployment's a little higher than that, 4.8%. But there's a competition for workers, and so wages get pushed up for encouraging people to come and work. What I find interesting is that this is nothing new. If you turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 9, you discover that even in the first century, there was a shortage of workers. And at the end of Matthew chapter 9, on page 1035, it's Jesus who makes the observation. And this is what he says. We read this in Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 35. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Jesus, in essence, puts out a help wanted sign. Will you respond? Will you pray? And my point is pretty simple today. In fact, I almost thought I didn't need to preach after Drew's illustration with the children. But because of the realities we face, we should pray for laborers. That's it. That's the point. Because of the realities we face in the world, we should pray for laborers. And the first reality is that Christ encourages us to pray. Maybe that's a little too obvious. But he tells us to pray. The workers are few. So we are to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out laborers. Now, it's the duty of the Lord of the harvest to send them. I want you to see that. It's the duty of the Lord to send out workers. It's his task to find them. It is his task to gift them. It is his task to burden them for the work. Our task is what? To pray. That's our task. In fact, the ESV says here to pray earnestly. The word really means beseech or beg. So think about your prayer life for a moment. Could it in any way be said to include begging for workers? Did you pray this last week, begging God for workers? Did your family beg the Lord of the harvest to send out workers? Did we as a church this week pray, begging God to send out workers? Is this need a priority in our prayer life? We might have part of our answer right now to why there are so few workers. If we're not doing what Jesus asked us to do, why would he do what we hope he would do? When he's told us to pray, to send out workers. So that's the first reality, and it's simply that. Christ encourages us to pray, so we should. The second reality is that all are needy. All people are needy. Notice how Jesus sees the people. He saw them in their need, harassed and helpless, distressed and weary, downcast, exhausted, and faint. Can you see them? When you view your neighbors and your coworkers, maybe people in your own household, do you see them like this? At work, at school, on the street? Do we see people the way Jesus saw them? Now, I don't need to preach again last week's sermon. Well, maybe I do, but I won't. But do we see those around us in their need? And if we do, do we care? Because it might even be worse to say, well, I do see all those needs. I'm just unmoved by them. But many of us live isolated lives, chosen where to live and how to live and so forth, and where to drive and where not to drive, and so often we don't even see the needs. But they're there. All of us have them. And if we see them, then do we have compassion for those around us who are worn out and helpless and hopeless? Or do we think that somehow those in need are simply getting what they deserve? Maybe we think, well, they should know better. They've gotten into this circumstance because of their own decisions. If they only made better choices, like maybe I make, they wouldn't be in this predicament. So instead of feeling compassion, we actually feel somewhat prideful. And instead of helping, we actually end up condemning, which was the Pharisaical approach to the needs of those around them. But if we think of our neighbors, co-workers, extended family, perhaps more like Jesus did, like sheep, we can remember that, you know, maybe they don't know any better. They need some help. I heard an employer talking about an employee that he was going to have to let go. And he said somewhere along the way, this employee had picked up bad habits. He said, we've tried to work with this employee to kind of overcome those. But now they're deeply ingrained. He felt compassion. How do we help this person be a better employee, do the job better? So maybe this person didn't know any better. They needed some help. We have neighbors and coworkers who need guidance. They need assistance. They need care. Jesus had compassion. Do we? And here's where I want to now ask you to take out that insert. And there's some lines there of that are blank at this point. It's kind of a most wanted list. So I want you to think right now of some people in your life that you know have a need to know Jesus, to be introduced to the great shepherd of the sheep. And I want you to write a name down, or two, or three, or five if you know five. Someone perhaps who needs compassion. Somebody who needs your help. Somebody who needs to hear Jesus saves. Because I want you to start having eyes to see the need. Because we won't pray unless we're moved by the need. For some of you, hearing Jesus say, "Beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers," is enough. Should be perhaps enough for all of us. But we'll be moved more and motivated more to pray if we actually have people in mind who need a laborer to come to them with this message that Jesus saves. So we start praying for our friends and our neighbors and those in need. And we pray that God will send workers to see them cared for. Because here's the next reality. Many are ready to be found. So the reality is that Jesus asks us to pray. The other reality is that all are in need. The next reality is that many are ready to be found. Note how Jesus observes the state of the harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The harvest is ready to be gathered. Jesus made a similar observation in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, he says to his disciples, "Do you not say there are yet 4 months? Then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together." Jesus was clearly referring to people. He'd had a conversation with a woman at the well at this town in Samaria, and she had gone into the village telling everybody in the village, "I've met the Messiah." And the entire village went out to see Jesus. And that's what Jesus observes and says, "See, there's the field and it's white for harvest." And then he observes, "But the laborers are few here." In Matthew chapter 9, "The fields are ready, but the laborers are few. The harvester is already drawing his wages. The sower is already seeing fruit." What an encouragement for those who are going to labor. There's a rich harvest waiting. And so in the book of Revelation, John the Apostle says this, "I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." People from every tribe and people and tongue and nations. Here's the reality of Psalm 67. That the world will know, that the nations will come, that the ends of the earth might fear the Lord. This is Psalm 72 that we've already sung. He will rule from sea to sea and to the ends of the earth. All nations will call him blessed. And in a couple of minutes, we'll sing Psalm 126, that the sower goes forth with tears and he comes reaping with joy, bringing the sheaves. This is the work. Have you experienced the joy of introducing someone to Jesus? Some of us, I don't know, many of us have led persons to the Savior. There is nothing like that. The joy of seeing someone profess their faith in Jesus Christ. Indeed, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news. Many of you have been around new parents. You've been involved in being a new parent. All of you at one point were a baby. You were a newborn. That same joy is there in the spiritual realm. May the Lord give you that joy to be a spiritual midwife, because that's the role, being there to assist and to be available to the Holy Spirit to bring new life into the kingdom of God. And we have great news to share. The gospel. That you can be healed and restored and encouraged and empowered. You can have the life that you always wanted. That you were destined and created for in Christ. Every relationship as it ought to be. That's what he offers. What good news. Hope and power and strength. Life in Christ. Eternal life in Christ. And there are needy persons who are waiting to be found. And yet, few are going. All are in need. Many are ready to be found. And yet, few are going. The laborers are few. That's what Jesus observed. The fields are ready, but the laborers are few. Church attenders are many. Seminars on church growth and church work are many. Conferences are many. Laborers are few. Why? Why is there a shortage of laborers? Well, because of the same realities, but one is, we simply don't obey Jesus' command. We don't pray for them. Again, what part of praying for laborers is in our life, in our spiritual life? Are we regularly praying? Periodically, we might pray when the denomination highlights the need for pastors. But if we think the laborers are only pastors, we are thinking way, way, way too narrowly. In the next couple of months, there'll be 9 to 11 vacant pastorates. Guys are retiring. We need laborers and pastors, but we need laborers way beyond pastors. Don't think that narrowly. We need to pray regularly that the Lord of the harvest will send out workers. So we don't see laborers because we don't ask. Another thing is perhaps we don't actually believe that people are really lost. Or worse, we don't care. We don't actually see the crowds the way Jesus did. He saw them as lost people, as sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them, and he met their needs. Are we gripped by the gravity, the seriousness of the plight of those who don't know Jesus? I'm not sure we are. They are in a fearful position. And maybe some even here who are not right with Jesus Christ, who are not ready to die. Because when we die, we stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account. And if there is no Savior, we are in a frightful position. That reality should move us to pray. There's a shortage of laborers because some of us perhaps don't believe that people are ready to be found. It's not been our experience. We haven't seen people converted. We haven't seen people being found and being saved. We don't really think it happens. Or at least we don't know how it happens. People that join our church come from other churches. So we don't really think this. We have actually not been involved in leading people to Christ. Some of us believe it's the pastor's job. Or some of us believe, well, it's not my gift, it's somebody else's gift. And yet in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, we read that there was a time of persecution that arose, and everybody left Jerusalem except the apostles. So everybody that they had seen come to faith, because of the persecution, left Jerusalem. And then in verse 4, we read this, and those who were scattered went about preaching the word. They went about announcing good news. That's the word. They went about evangelizing. It wasn't the apostles. It was everybody else. That's you and me. That's everybody else. They were competent to labor. They knew the gospel. Do you? If someone were to ask you, what do I have to do to be saved? How do I get what the pastor was talking about? Can you tell them? And if you can't, I do wonder then, do you know what you believe? Because if you know what you believe, you should be able to tell somebody else. And if you're not sure of what to say, there are a number of us who would be happy, would be thrilled to help you learn how to talk about what it is you believe. There's one last reason why we may not see the fruit, we may not see the workers is most of us, I think, don't actually like the idea of laboring. We like the idea of managing or administering. Laborers labor. It's the idea of what the vine dresser does and the farmhand does. It's hard work. It is hard work. I am sure potato diggers are really glad that there are tractors now who do that, that do that for them. I can't imagine digging potatoes. I've never done that. Maybe some of you have, and you know exactly how backbreaking it is, how exhausting. Laboring comes with blisters. We had a laboring day here yesterday. I spent a number of hours with a rake in the gravel. I got the blisters to show it. I got the soreness in arms and shoulders. People are thinking, man, our pastor's way out of shape. But I don't usually do that kind of labor. Back in high school and college, I did that. Worked with Jim Copeland. 6 days incorporated as a roofer. I wasn't a roofer. I was a laborer. Like, that's what they called me. You're the help. You carry shingles. That's why we pay you. I'm glad I went to college. But I'm very glad that God calls people to that kind of work, because it has to be done. Roofs have to get put on. Repairs have to be made. That labor has to happen. We need farmers, because we need to eat. Even in light of the aches and the soreness, somebody has to do this labor. If we're going to live, somebody has to grow the food and harvest the food, and that's hard work. But if others are going to live forever, we need to go labor in the field that they can have life. And it's costly. For some, it costs their family, because they will go labor at a distance. And they won't see their grandparents or parents very much, because they go at a distance. Some won't marry, because they'll go labor, and the labor will cost that. Many will give up their affluence to go labor. And they'll give up their safety to go labor. And most of us don't want to do that. We don't want to give up family. We don't want to give up our affluence. We don't want to live in dangerous places. We don't like the idea of laboring. But we can and we must pray. That is what we are told to do. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send out workers into the harvest field. We must pray. But as we pray, do not be surprised when Jesus starts recruiting workers among us. Maybe even you. The Lord of the harvest, he is the owner and he is the foreman. We work for him. He chooses when we work and where we work and for how long we work. That's his call, because he's the owner. So we need to pray that God will recruit and be open then to his recruiting. We also need to persevere. We need to persevere in prayer. We also need to persevere, though, in work. Because we know the harvest is ready, we need to keep working and looking until we find it. It's a great promise that there are people that need to be found. Are we looking? We might need to get prepared, because workers need to be trained. I was not just thrown out on a roof as a laborer. I was shown. Here's how you carry a bundle of shingles up a 10-foot ladder. Okay, I can do that. 3 days later, here's how you carry a bundle of shingles up a 40-foot ladder. That's the day I almost quit. Up to the top of a roof, Pittsburgh roof, into the box gutter, around three sides of the house, including a couple of chimneys, and then put those shingles in that front reveal and then work your way back and bring up more. That's all I did that day. I thought, you are not paying me enough to do this. But I did it. And the foreman, the owner, says, this is what you're going to do. Okay. If I'm going to work here, this is what I'm going to do. But he had to show me how so I didn't die. I'm glad for his training. I'm still here. I think Vicky is too. We also need to build bridges. Earn the right to be heard. People want to know they matter. They want to know that they are loved. So we need to start there. It's hospitality. It's loving our neighbors and earning a right to be heard. Show that most Christians are led to faith by a friend or a relative. Statistics prove that out. 99%, 98% of people are brought to a saving knowledge of Jesus by a friend or relative. Who are your friends and who are your relatives that need to be found? You might put them on that list. But we're to pray. We are to pray to the Lord of the harvest so that he will respond by raising up laborers and then thrusting them into the harvest field. By the way, this is a pretty strong word. This is the same word that is used of Jesus driving out demonic possession. That's the word here, that he will thrust out these workers into the field, same way as he cast out demons. And then if you look at Matthew chapter 10, it's one of the quickest answers to prayer ever. He sends out 12 to labor in the harvest field. May it be so today, that as we pray, he will send out workers for evangelism. Kids Zone is going to begin again this next month in June. We need workers. We need to ask the Lord of the harvest to send them out. Mentors. Our mission team members are coming this summer. The workers are already coming. Do we know what to do with them? When is Taylor's team coming?
First Saturday in July.
First Saturday in July, and there are 35 coming. Wow. We pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out workers, so that his kingdom might come. Let's pray. Lord, we simply hear your call today. Beseech, beg the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. So we're going to do that. Please, send out workers. And it may be that some among us, Lord, will say, like Isaiah, here am I, send me. Right now, that's not what we're thinking about. We're thinking about simply asking you to recruit workers and send them out, whoever they might be. Burden men and women to become laborers in the harvest field, that your kingdom might come, that your will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, we've written some names down. And it might be that we are the laborer who will reach one of these persons whose names we have written If not us, send a laborer today, this week, to talk to this person, that they might be loved and that they might hear good news, that they can be forgiven. And this we ask in your name, Jesus, for you are the Lord of the harvest. Amen.